So our next talk is how open source changed software engineering by Nupur Sharma. Thank you.
Hi all, this is Nupur Sharma. Actually, I'm here to talk about how open source has actually impacted the entire software engineering community. See, it is impacting in various ways, like it has impacted our development, it has impacted our execution environment, it has how we are using OSS into our proprietary software. So there are various aspects on which it has impacted, and we have to discuss, we have to analyze, and we have to decide. I mean, before we decide, we have to analyze and see what all are the different models which we can use before we decide to go for open source. See, obviously, we all are aware that there are two types of softwares in the market. One is proprietary and another is open source. Proprietary softwares are those softwares which are actually owned by someone who has created it. It could be individual or it could be a company who has created that. That is proprietary software. And in proprietary softwares, source code is never shared. It is kept secret. In open source is a commercial, but see what we are in open source, it is managed by community, it is managed by those set of contributors who have created it, and it is, when it is released with source code under the open source definition license, which implicates that code would be released with binary, which will be made open to all the users and developers who can use, modify, and redistribute this. Moreover, open source is developed in public accessible projects so that anybody who has the knowledge, you can share your knowledge, you can share your ideas, and also you are welcome to join the code. So this entire structure makes the software more robust, and it makes more diverse business models. How open source evaluated? See, open source development had appeared and disseminated with software development industry along with, say, for last maybe more than 20 years, more aggressively. And it is, this coincides with the development and growth of internet and World Wide Web. See, this internet and World Wide Web has given us, has supported us to access, it has given us access to that remote information which was not accessible to us before internet. It has given us access to those software assets. This internet has helped us to manage the open source along with, you can say, remotely, geographically dispersed and distributed community. It was not possible before internet. So internet came after that, this concept of open source developed, and the both the things are working together. This has given us decentralized community. Everybody is, I mean, they are not geographically connected. They are working through internet and they are able to communicate well with that. This is absolutely different with proprietary software where all the developers, their code, their administrator authority, they all are at the same location and working together. See, proprietary softwares are also developed under a particular model. They are called closed source software models. They are working software development models. So these proprietary softwares have a predefined structure. You know, at the time of execution, at the time of incubation, and the moment you decide to go for the software, the entire process is defined. Like, there will be requirement collection, there will be review, there will be coding, there will be testing, documentation. This is the timeline when release will be scheduled. So this is how, this is totally, our open source community is totally different from the regular conventional proprietary one. But they also have a predefined model. The EV model is there, V-shape model is there, waterfall is the most popular technique which they use, cascade, spiral is out there. For open source software development model, it is totally different. It is evolutionary model. See, we all are aware when open source project is started, it is not defined like the way proprietary softwares are. It keeps on evolving constantly. Like, there is a proposal for a feature, there is a proposal for a particular feature to be added, this goes to the community, community discuss it, goes across it, if they find it feasible, they start coding, testing, and a new release is made. So this is the cycle which keeps on taking place in OSS model. There is a release, again there is a suggestion, they code, requirement is there, design, code, testing, new release. And this keeps on happening and this keeps on evolving as long as we have active users with us. If there's no active users, OSS, the open source project will finish. Unless, I mean, when, as long as you have active users, this process will keep on happening. Now, open source community structure. See, as now we all are aware that open source is a non-centralized community. It is a virtual community, but in that community also we have small virtual groups. Every group is doing its own task. For example, we have a group of coders. They are not on the same location. They all are working remotely, but they are busy. They are focused in enhancing the features to our open source software. There's another group, media group. They are taking care of PR part. One more group is there who is taking care of all the release, how frequently and when release is going to take place. Tools group is there. There are various groups, specialized group who are taking care of needs of open source software. The largest group is active users. Even active users, what they are doing, apart from using the software, they are helping the community in finding the bug, writing documentation, providing support. They are also busy and contributing in their own way to the community. Passive users, they are simply using it. This is, I've tried to explain the structure, like this is the users, they are passive users, they are simply using it, users, they are active users, they are developers who are developing it, non-developers, they are busy in reporting the bugs, suggesting features and documentation. How OSS are managed? See, there are two ways to manage all the open source softwares. One, softwares which are managed by community. The community who is developing it, who is improving it, who is working day and night onto the software. They cooperatively enhance the features, they cooperatively support to the users as far as possible without any remuneration. So, although this contributors, core contributor team has complete control over the software, still larger softwares are being managed by some non-profit foundations. For example, as you all are aware that all SF projects are managed by foundation only. Another group, another set of OSS which are managed by a single entity, you can call them vendors. There are a lot of vendors who are managing the open sources by their different ways, which we are going to discuss later, and they generate, they support, they provide service, they enhance features, and they generate revenue around it. So these are the two ways how open source softwares are managed. See, there are two features which are common in every open source project. One is they all have to be adhered to open source definition licensing. There is a certain OSD feature which every project has to follow, has to be adhered to those definitions which are defined by OSDs. Another thing is in every community there are developers and they are users, and even users are developers, so it is they are contributing as well as using it and trying to improve the our open source software. Although they all are open source projects, but there are various aspects on which they differ with each other. For example, there's a project starting point. How project can get started? There might be various things. One, I have an idea. I want to, you know, start a project on that particular idea. So I go to community or I go to that open source where I can find developers. I start talking with them and I try to convince them with the idea. I try to tell them how good the idea can be. And we all are started. We all work together. We all go to open source. We open source a project and we get the help from all the developers. Another way is, which is also very common, that it's happened. See, this is a startup world these days. It's very common practice 5, 6, 7 developers, they start coding, they develop a project and try to sell it off. But they are not able to do the justice, they are not able to achieve what they want to, because They do not have money to find developers who can code for them, and they cannot find that quality of developers they can code for them, because those good developers are expensive and they cannot afford it. So at times what they do, they open source their proprietary software. So that way they get the community, they get the developers who are working for them. So that is, so these are the two ways how a project can, open source project can get started. Motivation. This is another point on which open source projects differ from each other. There are a few projects in which individuals are contributing because, one, they want to contribute, they want to learn, they want to grow with the community, they want to work with those people who are really good in coding and they have so much of knowledge. Otherwise, they can choose open source because in that particular open source software, there are features which they want to use. So to use those features, to use those applications, they decide to choose open source softwares. And why corporates are going for that? They gain market share, they gain community, they're lower, their cost is reduced, and their dependency is reduced on vendors. For example, I don't want to name it, if you purchase a software, then first of all you are paying so much of price, then that vendor is going to support you, but you are dependent on that. You go for AMC, or every year you are paying a hefty amount to them. But when you are using open source software, that all part is reduced to some extent. Then community. Our open source projects differ on community also. See, we have two type of communities even in open source. One is centralized community. So we have a strict hierarchy of active users. And another one is comparatively looser organization community, where all the developers are on the same page. But in that case, it is very necessary that we have a very sophisticated decision making process, because since all the developers are on same page, it might create problem, confusion and conflicts. So this, you have to have a very defined process in that. Another thing is that, see, although all the developers are on same page, depending upon how much contribution you are making, how much knowledge you are sharing, how much support you are giving to community, you know, there your stake in the community, your control in the community definitely increases. And this type is called meritocratic culture. You are working, you are contributing, you are doing so much for the community, so your stake in decision making power by default increases. That is called meritocratic culture. Then again, open source projects differ on several aspects. Support, modularity. See, different projects have different modularity. Like, I mean, there are few projects there we have small modules, and there are few projects in which we have 3-4 big modules. So their support is different, their architecture is different, their documentation is different. They might differ on these things. Another thing is licensing. There are various licenses available. They might differ on licenses also. See, now I would like to discuss open source comparison of open source projects with closed source projects, with proprietary projects. First, we'll talk about documentation. As I told you, when a project gets started, proprietary software gets started, the entire process is defined. Running this to this period, we'll do coding, then testing, then documentation, and it will be released. So for documentation also, they have a defined timeline and defined team who is going to do documentation for them. But in case of open source, most of the participants are coders. So their focus is to code rather than to document. So documentation is relatively a weaker part for open source, and so their documentation is not well thought and well written most of the time. If I talk of testing, again the same maths applies, that for proprietary software there are set of testers who are doing testing once the coding is done. Once coding is done, they are doing testing part and they are taking it forward. In open source, those developers only who are developing it, or another set of developers, they are doing testing, and if they find a bug, either they can fix it themselves or they can send it to community and community can fix the testing. So we do not have separate set of testers who are doing testing for them. Our coders are only doing the same. Security. For security, proprietary software feel that they achieve the security by obscurity. They do not reveal the code. They do not discuss the source code. This is how they try to get the security. In open source, they feel that the security is through openness of the code. See, both openness or obscurity, they have their own merits and demerits. So it depends upon personal choice. But in highly secure system, openness is always preferred. Releases and delivery. As I just told you, in proprietary software, release date is defined. It could be because of project timeline, or it could be market pressure. Say there are two databases. One is acquired a particular feature. Second is under pressure to make the changes and push the release. In open source, release is done only, as we discussed earlier, whenever there is a feature request, feature is coded, tested, and once it is through, only then release is made. So in open source, releases are frequent, but they cannot be scheduled. In proprietary software, release is scheduled and has to be done on that timeline only. Environment. See, again, we are aware that proprietary software, their developers, their coders, their testers, the code, administrative authority, they all are based on single location, single physical location, and they all are working together to get that proprietary software. In open source, as we are aware, that it is, they work on virtual communities, they all are remotely located and working together. So environment is decentralized. See, although open source and closed source, they are so different, still there are collaboration models between them. They both have to work together, they can exist together to achieve the bigger targets, or mutually benefited targets. There are three types of models which are available between open source and closed source: using OSS, reusing OSS, and redistributing. I'll discuss all of them and their benefits and risks. See, this is a generic OSS usage model available, in which there are two separate rectangles. One is open source, one is closed source. In open source, need is different. Personal need for software, then soft technical activities take place, development, coding, testing, and everything takes place. And again, there is a request, so it keeps on happening. It comes to an end only when there is no interest for software, project ends. Otherwise, this particular cycle keeps on repeating. In closed source, what's happening? Where there's a business need. There's business need, and on that basis, they start development. They do documentation. Once project gets over, project comes to an end. And between these two separate rectangles, there is a collaboration model of bidirectional data exchange, which is mentioned in with dotted line in this. So these are two separate rectangles for open and closed source, but bidirectional data exchange is taking place. As you can see, open source will start with personal need, closed source will start with business need, technical activities would remain the same. This project has its own life. One project is completed, project comes to an end. Open source will come to an end only if there is no interest or there are no active users. First way of collaborating with open source and proprietary is using OSS. What they are doing, they are not doing anything to open source. They are simply installing that open source software into their machine and they are using it. They are not doing any changes, nothing. They are using it as it is. Modifications are not modeled. Whenever a new version, new release comes, they simply install it again if they require it, and they keeps on using it. If they want to add a feature, if they want some modifications, they send the request to community. Community might or might not accept that feature. If they are ready, they are willing to add that feature, they start working on it. Another release there, and this is the only way you can get that feature which you are looking for. See, as you can see, nothing much is happening in closed. They are simply downloading, OSS is using, they are maintaining, and if there is request, then OSS, it goes to open source, they make the changes, and they new release is there, and they send it back. New release, and they send it back to this proprietary software. They can simply install the new release and they can start using that feature. Benefit of using OSS, obviously it lowers the cost. You are not making any investment. You are simply downloading and using it. So it it reduces the cost of project infrastructure. You have the entire community who are working for you. You can simply request for the feature. If they find it good, this feature would be added to that particular software without paying anything to anyone. You are getting free support, you are getting free add-ons, and you are getting free features and anything which you want, because you are not doing anything, so you are simply installing and using it. This is using OSS. The risks are, again, risks are this: so you want a feature, there's a possibility you send it to community, community might decide not to go ahead with that feature. So this is a constraint that you might be managing without that feature. There is no legal guarantee that what you are asking for, community will be able to provide. Then releases are not determined, because as I said, community does not have a defined timeline that they have to release their new version on this date. This might take time, this might not well match with your requirements. So these are the risks of OSS. Another feature is redistribution. What redistribution is doing, see, it is being, in this case, what vendor is doing, they take the OSS, they try to add on something into that OSS. It could be support, it could be services, it could be some modifications based on their client's need. So they make some changes, make a complete software package, make a different packaging, and make it more user friendly, because mostly with the open source, there are times when GUI is, the packages are not that user friendly. So at times they add GUI, they add service, they add support, or they add feature, and then they make a package and sell it to their client. So this is called redistributing OSS. So they are using OSS, but they are changing the structure, they are changing the face of it, adding something to it and selling it. So there is a possibility, if they want, the changes they have made, they can keep it as intellectual property provided license permits them. Otherwise, again, they can send that request to open source, and open source community also might try to incorporate those changes which they have done to the source, open source software. Benefit is to gain market share, to make profit out of open source software with minimum risk. See, your base is ready. You're taking base from open source. So you're not paying for that, and you're building something around that, and you're trying to make the money out of it. And if you, see, you are paying to your developers to add X feature. If you send a request to community, community agrees to add that X feature to the open source software, then you don't need those developers. So this way your cost is reduced once again, even for the making changes. So this is another benefit. Risks are, again, almost the same. There are no definite releases. Your client might be looking for a feature and which you are waiting community to do that for you, but community might not be able to release as per the date or as per requirement of your client. So release is the issue. Legal issues are also there, that community might choose due to some legal technicalities. They might not be able to add the feature, or they might not be able to make modifications. So these are the risks for you. At times this happens that, you know, open source community suddenly decide to change the path of their business. I mean, they are doing some X thing, due to certain thing they decide, no, now we are not, instead of focusing on X, we would like to focus on Y, which is very different from X. So this might impact your business, because community is free. They can choose, no, I will not go focus on X, we'll go for Y part only. But your clients are looking for new releases for X. They are working on X and they are paying you for X feature. So in that case, if suddenly OSS decides to change the path, to change their business need, business model, then this might impact your customers also. Another part is reusing OSS. In reusing OSS, what they are doing, see, you are developing a proprietary software. There is a particular component which is needed, and some OSS component is doing it. So what you can do, you can pick that OSS component and you can include and you can adapt into your proprietary software. So that particular feature, say query planning is there or anything is there, you can pick it from open source, you can incorporate it into your proprietary software, and you can build a software around it. So that is called reusing open source software. In this, again, productivity is increased because you are getting ready-made components. You are not consuming time into that. Your time, your efforts, your money is saved in developing those components, and you are building a software around that. Software quality is good, so productivity is good because software quality is being tested by our developers, so quality is good and you don't need to worry about it. Risks, again, risk is there because you are developing softwares around that OSS, so if their release is delayed, your business is impacted. At times there are frequent releases, so again, whenever there is a release, you have to install it and you have to make changes into proprietary software. This is again a lot of effort will be there. Every time you have to integrate that OSS components into your proprietary software, so this is going to take time and efforts both. How software companies look towards OSS? Why they look for OSS? They look for OSS, but one, because it provides you great flexibility for development. It gives you a jump start to their business because of reusability of the code, and it gives you access to the broader market. See, I would like to discuss a case study. See, there is an open source software, Kamanja, which is being owned by Liga Data. So Liga Data, again, as I said, there are cases that Kamanja was their proprietary software, but they decided to open source it. So Liga Data, team of developers of Liga Data, they are managing Kamanja. Kamanja, Barclays had a tie-up with Liga Data. What they are doing, Kamanja is a team of Kamanja plus few developers from Barclays. They are working together on those features which are required by Barclays. So Barclays is getting those features dedicatedly which they need into Kamanja. What Kamanja is doing, Kamanja is getting developers internally and externally, and they are working on those features, and those features are added into their source code. So the Kamanja community is growing, Kamanja features are growing. And what Liga Data is getting, they are getting money out of Barclays. Barclays is paying for them, so Liga Data is financially benefited. Their product is being grown based on Barclays need. They are adding features which are down the line, they are adding to Kamanja. So Kamanja community is growing, Kamanja product is improving, and Barclays is getting all those features which they are looking forward to. So this kind of model where community, a company which is owning a open source, they are having a tie-up with big organizations, they all are mutually benefited. This kind of business model is very popular, and as I said, it is benefiting each and every component of this arrangement. So all I can say that, see, open source has a lot of potential. They have huge potential in open source market. They have infrastructure, they have developers, they have reusable code which can be used in software development industry, and it would be beneficial for everyone. But we have to take care of technical, managerial and legal aspect of this so that this can be done seamlessly. Thank you.